We're here live at the Zelton National School this morning. We're going to be talking about issues to do with the local area and rural areas in general across Kerry. Have to say a special hello though to Bridie and Marie Barrett listening in Ennismore from Hazel and Elise in the Zelton School. That is one request we get in this morning for you. And I'm delighted to say I have my next two guests here on the Radio Kerry Outside Broadcast Unit, and two people who know a lot about education in this area, about numbers, about demographics and other things affecting the area. Principal of Zelton National School, Regina Walsh, and Deputy Principal of Coulard National School, a school also in the area, Dermot O'Connor. Good morning to both of you and thanks for joining us in the programme.
Thank you, Gerry. We're delighted that you're here with us this morning. We're all very excited here. The children are all in high dough that the Radio Kerry Outside Broadcast Unit is here in the schoolyard. I'm acting principal here, for just the record, to set that right, for the last 3.5 years. And there's great excitement that you're here with us this morning.
Okay. Regina, tell me about the school year you've just had. It's winding now, coming to an end.
As you can see here, you're pulled up into beautiful open space here, part of our basketball court. We have a green area here to the left. At the back of the school, we have a beautiful pitch. I mean, there's open space galore here. Across the way, we're developing our biodiversity. We've gotten a grant for 2,500. A lot of the parents, we have a fantastic parent association who are working on that at the moment. So that, like, we have outdoor space. It's healthy for the children, and we have everything going. Like, I was thinking about what to say. I was just thinking that programme, it takes a village to raise a child in RTE, and how they take a child from an inner city Dublin and bring them to a rural area, and the difference in those children in their lives. And it follows up afterwards how it changes them. And, like, we have that here. This is gold here, what we have. And to think that we're losing a teacher this year and that we can't, it's getting more difficult to keep these schools open. It's a travesty, really. You know, we're turning our backs on something that is valuable. As I say, to me, it's gold.
Yeah.
It's like, for the health of our children, for the wholesome education they get. And these children are reared in nature, and they're the children that will respect nature, as far as I'm concerned. They're the ones who will take care of our environment. Just because they're living here doesn't mean that the environment has to suffer.
Yeah. So you're losing a teacher, and if the numbers keep going the way they're going, that teacher loss, it's an impact in the wider community as well,
It's impacting the working of the school, and it's impacting, obviously, the wider community. We'll have some other people from our community on, and how just rural depopulation is affecting the GAs, as you shall hear later on, and just the vibrancy of the local community.
Yeah.
You know?
That's part of the issue.
Okay,
we're going to talk a bit more about that and maybe some of the solutions to it. Dermot, good morning to you, and thanks very much for joining me in the programme. Tell me about the situation in Coulard.
Yeah, very similar to what Regina just said there about the children, how they're learning. Like, we have a lovely idyllic setting, you know, at the foot of a valley, like, and again, a lot of outdoor learning. You know, they're learning in nature. It's very safe environment, and, like, our children are happy. But unfortunately, same as Regina just said there, like, just enrolments are starting to fall. Like, just prior to coming on this morning, I just did a quick look back over what it was 10 years ago, and our enrolments from next year, it's fallen by 46%.
46% drop in 10 years?
In 10 years, yeah.
Okay, and that tells its own story.
And unfortunately, and, like, it kind of ties in. I know Robert will be talking about it later on, but we would have linked in with the demographics officer in the county board. And what's his name? Michael Murphy, yeah. So he would have sent me on some details. So they would have did some research on the Listowel Municipal District. And, you know, at the time, that was 2024, they were showing a 35% decrease for ourselves and Liselton, and even in that 2 years has nearly jumped 10-12%.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a very worrying trend, Gerry, like, you know. And you know, I know there's huge things about planning, and, like, you know, people from our own locality. I know guys, lads I played football with, you know, three or four off the top of my head, like, who've struggled to get planning, you know, or even they've done their percolation and they can't get percolation, and then that's it, like, you know. And, like, I suppose it's one thing, it's an important point to raise, like, that, you know, I suppose there's a lot of contradictory information to government, we're all for rural and so on and so forth, and, you know, we want to revitalise rural areas.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, you have Project Ireland 2050, the Regional Spatial and Economic Strategy provides us have a project called Project Ireland 2040, and it's the national planning framework at regional level, and this framework provides a target of 40% growth in population for the towns of Tralee and Killarney by 2040, and this is directly influencing all planning in the county, with the aim of being the vast majority of new developments of housing to be located in these two towns.
Yeah, and like, you're asking yourself then, if they've got that plan on the one hand that you say to revitalise rural areas, and the other hand they're projecting this level of growth in urban areas in rural Ireland.
But that's their strategy. Like that's their
the overall strategy.
Yeah, and like basically, having linked in with Michael in the county board, who's himself a primary school teacher in Drumcullagher, and I'll just touch on that in a minute in terms of planning. But, and it has led to the classification of majority of rural areas in Kerry as rural areas under urban influence. And basically, even there were submissions to the Municipal Council in Stowell, which Regina made on behalf of the school, but I just researched it, and ASTI community group would have made a submission, and like just to quote their part of their submission, like, the classification of ASTI as an area under urban influence presents a significant constraint in securing planning permission for new homes and should therefore be reconsidered and removed.
Okay, that's the issue. Regina, you wanted to talk about that issue in terms of planning, and I'm talking in the context now. In a number of days, the government are to come out with new guidelines after years of waiting for rural development.
Just Anisha there was talking to us actually by purance a few weeks ago. My brother-in-law, he was in Scotland, and he was saying he was travelling. There was vast areas of kind of wasteland, really no houses or homes. And then you'd come to, and he said they were talking to their tour guide. He said that they have felt that that's a mistake now because there's nobody in the.
So community. They went down that road already of getting everyone.
Now
into
look,
towns
this
and
is anecdotal. There's the environment is not being taken care of because there's nobody living in the environment, and they're rowing back on that now, and it's the people living in the environment that we look after the environment, you know. So that's an important point. We were talking about the once-off housing, and as I said in my previous interview, this is not a once-off family, and I think that's a very important point, that that's taken into consideration, that the lives of the children and the people involved are taken into consideration, you know. It can't be mutually exclusive. And like on one thing there, while I have the opportunity, on septic tanks, I was listening to Aon and Ilona. Now we all know Aon and Ilona, she's a great environmentalist, on the Late Late Show. It was years ago, and I probably had a septic tank for maybe 10 or 15 years at the time. And she said, for God's sake, will you stop putting Domestos into your toilets? It's killing off the bacteria in your septic. Septic tanks are meant to be self-cleaning. Yes. They're not, you know. So, and I said, I never knew that. I never knew that till then. I said, how many more? And oftentimes people say we have a problem with that. I said, are you using Domestos or such type products? And they said, well, we are, because we're all into cleanliness and all the rest of that. And that is. And I said, why didn't this come with a big health warning when I got my septic tank?
Yeah.
So that I would know this. Septic tanks are meant not to be cleared every 6 to 12 years. So, that I mean, if people are educated, why aren't people educated that when they're using.
And that goes to water quality, goes to planning, what Dermot mentioned about percolation. And all of those things. Dermot, what would you like to see from the rural guidelines? Would you like to see some way of incentivising people?
And I suppose, Regina's just brought it up there, and it's just got me, I have a little bit of a note in it actually. So, I mean, in terms of, you mentioned about the rural planning guidelines. I mean, this has been in the domain, you know, rural decline for the last 10-15 years. The last planning documents relating to rural development was 2005, I believe. That's 21 years.
Yeah.
Do you know, and even though it's been in the mainstream, you know, people have been talking about it, like, you know, and
in that time, the east coast of the country has become absolutely top heavy. 43% of the population is in the east coast, a higher percentage even in terms of the greater Dublin commuting area, and over in the west coast, like the GAA had figures out last week.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
said 50 clubs catering for 25% of the children, of the playing children, and then on the west coast, 1,000 clubs. Covering 22%.
Yeah, it tells its own story. Like, and I mean, do you know the fact that the GAA kind of, commissioned the demographics officers for each county and everything? Obviously, it's been a huge issue. Now, you said about incentivising people to build, and Regina made a very good point there about the percolation and septic tanks. And, you know, just looking at the stats, you know, Kerry, you know, in terms of wastewater treatment systems that fail, okay, Kerry is actually below the average. Yeah. Okay, so you've counties like Laois, Meath, Kildare, Longford, Kilkenny, Mayo,
East, all those East Coast,
Wexford,
counties,
Roscommon, yeah, Leitrim, that are above the average. My question would be, I wonder, is it as hard to get planning for one-off houses in those counties as it is in Kerry? Because I know, I was speaking to our farm principal, Marcel Mahoney, and his nieces and nephews-in-laws are from Sligo, and they don't seem to have any major issue getting planning. Now, in terms of incentivising people, so DPA in their document last year brought out, you know, their annual report, and basically they outlined, but just in relation to grants being able to fix it. So grants are provided to repair, upgrade or replace households' wastewater treatment systems. Previously, only systems registered by 1st of February 2013 were eligible for the grant. But since the 1st of January 2024, the grant increased from 5,000 to 12,000.
Yeah.
And people who did not register a septic tank by 1st of February 2013 were eligible to apply. Okay. The cost of upgrading a deteriorated septic tank is estimated to be between 5,000 and 16,500 euro. Okay. So therefore, the increase in funding means that the grant will cover either all of the majority of the cost
or
of upgrading.
Vast majority.
So what I would propose, like thinking about it, if you wanted to build a one-off development house, there should be a grant to incentivize you to put in your correct septic tank. You know, your wastewater, so that it's environmentally neutral.
Yeah,
that would be for me.
We'll cover that side of it, the environmental concerns and problems. Regina, do you think that there is a change coming? That there's recognition of it, of what needs to be done, and obviously the government are also, the other issue is whether it's wastewater, or we have a story this morning of 64 houses can only be built in Kinmare if the developer provides water himself while they're waiting for Irish Water to. Infrastructure, will that be delivered quicker? They're promising it for areas like this so that houses can be built where they need to be.
Do you know what? It's like where there's a will, there's a way. I was listening the other day where there's a railway track being built in for the Ryder Cup. Within a matter of months, things can be done. Where there's a will, there's a way. So if people are on board with this and if they're open to this, it will happen.
Yeah,
you know, you just need that momentum behind.
Are we running out of time for it to happen? Because separate to what we're talking about, where people live in Ireland, there's also a falling birth rate, which will affect every area. Average two children per house, maybe even less per family now. So we're running out of time to fix this problem or to address it or to rebalance it.
Yeah, and on that as well, I have two grandchildren of my own, God bless them. And like, it's a tough number now where people have mortgages, they're trying to keep down jobs. And it's the grandparents and it's the brothers and sisters living beside it that makes it possible to have those children and makes it possible maybe to have more, please God. But where you have families living in isolation with no support, like they might have managed to have one or two under severe pressure, and it is a lot of stress. I see now.
It feeds into everything. Really.
It does.
Yeah.
If you have this supportive community around you, there's people to call, and there's a neighbour on the day that you can't do something to collect a child. It's invaluable support for people. And like that in myself, I feel if you have families settling near their community, I was listening to Backstory the other day. Again, it's an RTE, even though I don't watch too much RTE, about this an Irish girl. She went out to Zimbabwe with her mother. So it's this backstory. People who are living in Ireland consider themselves Irish but come from other cultures. And there, if you are entitled to land from your father. Now, obviously, it's a different thing, but I'm just thinking the cultural thing.
Yeah.
To go back to your area of origin, you have to be given land there. Now, like, that's 100 million miles away from what we're experiencing here, where people have their own sites and their own land.
Well, there is a policy as well, and it's been talked about more. I know the Irish Rural Link were talking about this as well, that you develop an idea of these little
clusters.
Nodes and clusters in rural areas. That's not so much one-off housing. It's five or six houses together. Family relationships or others who can support each other and keep an area going, that's maybe the role we need to go
on. Look, it's vital. It's vital to raise healthy, well-rounded, balanced individuals who will feel supported as they grow up and will therefore support their community around them. And they will support the environment and they will look after it.
Dermot, final point to you.
Yeah, I suppose just, you know, I mean, it's important to remember that, like, our rural schools make up the majority of the primary schools in Ireland, 2,000. Of the over 3,200 in the state are primary schools in rural areas, and the majority of these schools are classed as four teachers or less, you know?
Yeah.
And I suppose one way as well, like, I think that you know, policy could look at, like, is even, you know, as Regina mentioned there, you know, she's losing a teacher this year, and I think we'll be close enough next year, and is like, look, to reduce the class size. Don't know.
Yeah.
And
I was
know
actually talking to a teacher about this at the weekend, that that's what they need to do now, is reduce the class
and
size numbers.
Norma Foley,
and
in fairness, in her time as minister, you know, reduced it by two. So at the moment, we're 1:23. The EU average is 1:20. And it's a bit ironic when one considers that Ireland are taking over the EU presidency in July.
Yeah.
And like, there hasn't been a reduction in 3 years, and it's in the programme for government to reduce class size.
That would allow you to hang on to a teacher longer and rural schools all over.
100%, yeah. And like, they've actually even costed it, and it's 78 million it would cost. If they introduce an extra 1,000 teaching posts, it would allow schools to keep what they have, and it's actually costed 78 million against the overall budget of 9 billion. So,
I mean, story. Yeah. Okay, listen, my thanks to both of you for talking to me. Very interesting insights there from Regina and from Dermot. Regina, acting principal of Lisleton National School. Regina Walsh, Dermot O'Connor, deputy principal of Coolard National School. If you have a view on what they had to say, we want to hear from you. We'll have more from Lisleton after we take these.
Kerry Today on Radio Kerry, broadcasting live from Lisleton National School, funded by the News Reporting Scheme.
Yeah, keep your views, comments and opinions coming into us on the programme. We're coming to you live from Lisleton National School in the heart of North Kerry this morning. We're talking about issues to do with rural areas, schools, sporting organisations, community organisations, how to keep them alive in an era when we have, I suppose, population concentrated on the east coast of the country and pressures on infrastructure there, whereas other areas are looking for people to move to. And we had Regina and Dermot on there. In a moment, we'll be speaking to Robert Bunyan, who's Ballydunhill GAA Club, about the issues for them. Right now, though, we're going to talk a bit more about planning, and Gavin Lawler is president of the Irish Planning Institute. Gavin, good morning to you. Thanks for joining me this morning.
Good morning.
You heard both Regina and Dermot with their views as principals and leaders of local national schools in an area where school population is declining. What did you make of what they had to say in the context of maybe the government introducing a few changes in a number of days?
Well, I think there's way too much emphasis unfortunately, our demographics in Ireland have shown a falling birth rate over the last 20 years, and it's not insignificant. It's fallen by over 20% in the last 10 alone. So I think that, and that's something that on average nationally, that's affecting every part of the country. And as the birth rate goes down, well, then we're going to have less, obviously less children. If we've less children, then there's less need for schools generally, which will unfortunately lead to consolidation of schools in due course, unless something happens with the birth rate. And I think it's overly simplifying the situation to say that our rural housing policy is creating the problem. Because, I mean, a lot of the policy that you can deal with can be dealt with locally. Regina identified very clearly that one of the issues is in Kerry, and with the area in particular that she's in, is this idea or concept of an area under urban influence. If that village was designated as not being such an area, that would make a difference to rural housing. The other thing that you spoke of yourself, the idea of clusters, is a very, very good idea in terms of rural housing. But people need to move into those areas in order for rural depopulation to happen. So it's not just, again, I agree with the sentiment, where there's a will, there's a way. I'm a rural dweller myself, and if the rural community believes there's an issue in terms of rural depopulation and wants to attract more people to move into that community, they can, and they start with trying to maybe zone some land, or get the county to zone some land, councillors to zone some land in the middle of the village. That'll help straight away in terms of bringing new people into the village.
Yeah. And there is this idea, I know, that you're looking at villages and towns, and you need to regard them as part of rural Ireland. But on the bigger picture, Gavin, I know planning isn't the only answer here, as you've said, and it isn't all caused by planning. There's lots of different factors, industrial development, jobs in local areas. But that do we have an overall, and I'm not sure this is solvable because there's lots of different factors that go into it, certainly not by any one government. This issue of the imbalance in Ireland, of the East Coast having too many people under too much pressure, water and other things there, Dublin's at 99% capacity, they're having to invest billions to try and transport water from the Shannon to sort out that problem, and not enough people and the western coast of the country or in western rural counties. Can that imbalance, can they start developing or addressing that perhaps maybe? And again, it's a multi-year project.
It is, and yes is the answer to that. But I think, you know, the solution starts at home would be my view of this. And if you have a strong community and a strong community with a will to succeed in relation to this, you're always going to find very smart people, very innovative people in local communities who are going to want to try new initiatives to try and encourage and create employment locally. And then the local Chamber of Commerce and County Board should then be supporting that and pushing that. And I think that becomes a real backbone of rural redevelopment and rural strengthening in rural communities. I don't think that the national policy in and around, which is a very broad brush policy, which says in effect that people should live in urban areas. Now, for me, a village is an urban area. So I don't see any problem with villages, smaller villages expanding. And if they expand to a certain size, and the village I live in, or live close to, I should say, in Kildare, it's a very small community. It has less than 300 people living in its environs. It has a very successful local GAA club, all driven because we believe in the community that we can find innovative solutions. And a lot of the people who live and work in the community have decided to set up their businesses in the community and employ people in the community. And we're right on the edge of Dublin. We have to compete with that attraction of Dublin. But it's something we're very proud that we have done and managed to achieve. So it is possible to make that change, but everybody has to put the shoulder to the wheel. And, the guys are right. If the population gets to a certain critical mass where there's nobody left to do that anymore or everybody's too old to do that anymore, then you have a real problem.
Are you expecting big changes when it comes to the government's planning announcement due in a couple of days on rural planning? Or is there a fear that they'll make a change and say, well, that solved the problem?
I suppose neither would be the answer. I know there's going to be change. We've been told there's going to be change. That's been publicly said. The extent of that, everybody's uncertain of. But inevitably, when you make change in the planning arena, it takes time for that to work through the system. So generally speaking, if we get a new set of guidelines, you're not really going to see any proper results from that for about 2 to 3 years. By the time that those guidelines get disseminated, the local authorities amend their development plans, and then planning applications get through the process. So unfortunately, in planning, any policy changes at government level, while they're necessary and they should be done more frequently than they are currently, they don't create immediate seismic shifts. It'll be slow. The change will be slow.
Yeah, and in the meantime, areas need to work for themselves and try and develop things at that village level as you're talking about. Gavin, listen, thanks very much for... go on.
Just one final thing, and I'd say to the community there, there sounds like this fabulous community spirit. Capture that, bottle it, and advocate for what you have, because it sounds like I'm listening, I haven't been, but I want to go. So bottle it and go for it, is what I say.
Yeah. Okay, brilliant. Gavin, thanks very much for talking to us on the programme there. That's Gavin Lawler there, President of the Irish Planning Institute, talking about those changes to be coming in and what it needs to happen and what areas need to do for themselves, I suppose, in relation to revitalisation and attracting people to live with, obviously, the help of government and planning guidelines factor into that, but not the only factor of it. If you have a view on that, get in touch with us on the programme on 0667123666. You can text and WhatsApp us on 083 300 300. we want to hear from you on the programme this morning and give us your thoughts on it. And we are here in Liselton and we are talking about the issue of the area that we're in. And one of the key pieces of infrastructure here is Ballydunnu GAA Club. Robert Bunyan is with me in our outside broadcast unit. Robert, good morning to you and thanks for joining me this morning. You've been listening to Gavin there. You've listened to Regina and to Dermot. And I suppose, like the school, the GAA Club is seeing change as well over the last few years.
It has indeed, Gerry. And first of all, Ty Carr, our chairman, I'm acting in his position this morning. Ty can't be here, but I'm sure he'd say the same thing as I'm saying. The school, yeah, that we're in right now here in Liselton, as I look out the window, I see lots of traffic passing by. This is a busy place. It's a shame that they may be losing a teacher. Down in Cooraar, where I come from, same thing. They are actually the lifeblood of the GAA. If you don't have schoolyards and young lads and young ladies playing around and kicking a ball and so on, then we won't have footballers down the road. We're not too bad at the moment, but the forecast is not good. And on Saturday, I was so proud in Killarney when Jason Foley turned over that ball and gave it to Paul Ganey and Kerry got a goal. 10 or 15 years ago, I suppose, Jason was around the yard there kicking the ball. So out of small clubs come county footballers, Graham O'Sullivan and others as well, and yeah. Jason Foley from Ballydunnu. Yeah. So it's more than us, Gerry. It's about, you know, the area around us. We have a clubhouse. I hope the club survives because it's used by for fundraising. It's used for keep fit classes. It's used for coffee mornings. It's used for lots of things other than just playing games.
Yeah.
But if we don't have a team down the road, we lose our identity. That's my greatest fear.
Yeah.
And Brendan Kennedy has a plaque in Ballylongfoot. If smaller places die, greater places feel the loss. So if down the road, Ballydunnu, who are great rivals of Beal and Listowel and others around the place, if we don't have a team, well, they're going to suffer as well, because now one of their rivals will be gone. They might have more players, but they'll have no local rivalry, which you need to keep
to drive yourself on,
to drive clubs on.
Yeah,
we're the best of friends when it's over, but when it's on, it's a different story.
Would you support the idea, Robert? And it's been talked about in the context of, I suppose, times of crisis, storms and other things like that, that the sporting organisations, be it soccer club or a GAA club or a rugby club, wherever it is in Ireland, that they are used as community hubs. Uh-huh. The government feed into that and develop the facilities and to enable them to be used by everybody in the community.
I would indeed. Now, where Dermot School is right across the road from the GAA ground.
Yeah.
We cooperate with the school and they cooperate with us. And there's room for expansion. We have room there to make it bigger. The clubhouse is pretty good, but it could be bigger. We could have, you know, early retirement people and so on coming down there to the hub. Some place for them to go.
Yeah.
You know, I know there's other main sheds and things now cropping up around the place. But we have the facilities down there if we got a little bit of government aid. The other thing, Charlie, is the numbers. The numbers are serious for our GAA club. When Jason Foley, and I don't want to be on about Jason now, but he was on a brilliant team here who could compete, beat Dingle, beat Dr. Crooks, but that was cyclical, I know. But we have no minor team right now in Ballydunnu. And if you have no minor team,
what happens in 10 years' time to your senior team?
Our identity will go. Now, I was at meetings, Sylvester Hennessy and a few more people were at meetings going down to back a few years, and there was talks about trying to keep your identity. You might have to come down to 13-a-side, 11-a-side, and the county board would have to organise a county league for 11-a-side teams. Now, it mightn't be easy, but it might be a solution.
Yeah.
And then we say for the North Kerry Championship, which is maybe 3 games, that you could get players, maybe that their parents were from Ballydunnu, back into play, you know, if their own area was out of a championship. You know, there's something drastic will have to be done.
Yeah.
I know the parish rule is there to protect us all, but it's like, you know, by the population figures now, Julie, the parish rule.
So you're arguing there's going to have to be innovation here and a bit of radical thinking to keep clubs alive.
There'll have to be radical thinking and try and keep the identity as far as possible. Ballylongford are struggling down the road there, but they're trying to keep their identity, and I'm delighted that they have, because the supporters will shout for Ballylongford, they'll go. But if you amalgamate them all, you get a different name. We're actually, our minor team now is Northern Gaels. It doesn't cut any weight with a lot of people, tell you the truth.
Yeah, you know? And that's a problem. That's what keeps, I suppose, sporting organisations so strong. The local identity in the local area, the character of a club or a team that needs to be preserved.
That's it. You need a team. Now, we have the facilities, we have all those other things going on, but the bottom line is, yesterday we were playing down there in Colorado, it was a good crowd down there. That's, they're the people you'll meet, and you'll tell them what's on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. So you need the games, you need the team, and then the rest follows on.
Yeah.
That's...
Robert, the GAA are aware of it. They were obviously before Oireachtas committees, they were speaking about the integration plans. They were also speaking for the housing committee there 2 weeks ago. They're looking to the government, and they've produced this report, which is looking 10 years down the line. Are you hopeful that, changes will be made, support will be given to keep things going?
If it isn't, Jerry, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
Right? Now, it will be difficult because... planning is a problem, but even young fellas from Ballydun who tell me that have applied for planning, it's very expensive to apply for planning right now.
Yeah.
And you're waiting to even get it between all these landscapes and water connections and all those things. And then you've got to build a house and the costs have escalated. So I can't see that as a solution right now around, or even 10 years down the road. The solution will have to come from small... my opinion, anyway, teams, smaller number, 11-a-side, 13-a-side, something like that. And then farming won't change. Farming, there's, when I was young, most of the footballers in Ballydun were farmers. And we had a small post office where I was born, and it was a little hub of the place.
Yeah.
That's gone. The farm sizes have got bigger. Mechanisation has seen to that. So we have to look at fellas who move out for work coming back to us. Our girls as well now.
Yeah, what do they work at and all of that to keep them in the rural area, to attract them in here. That's what Gavin's talking about there, about starting businesses in the area and getting support to do that. Robert, we're out of time. Thanks so much for talking to me in the programme this morning. Very interesting observations as always. We'll talk more from the Zeltan. We'll be meeting some of the children from the Zeltan National School. We'll talk as well about the life of older people here and their contribution to community as well. That and more on the way on Kerry Today.
Thank you.
Kerry Today on Radio Kerry, broadcasting live from Zeltan National School, funded by the News Reporting Scheme.
Yeah, lots of your comments coming into us on the programme this morning. And just to let you know as well, the new Cathaoir League and mayors are being elected for the new year 2026 into 2027. Councillor John O'Donoghue of the Kerry Independent Alliance, elected Cathaoir League of Killarney Municipal District. Councillor Brendan Cronin is elected last Cathaoir League of that particular body. So we'll see what happens with regards to the main council as well. A couple of your comments, just for the records, Kerry football team playing Tyrone at the weekend. They're taking the same route as last year, when they played Armagh, Donegal and Tyrone on the way. Hopefully that's a good omen, listener. Another listener asks, if Michael Murphy had been taken off at full time yesterday, what would have happened in relation to the black card? Would a replacement be allowed to play? I'm not sure actually about that, if there's a way out or a loophole there. But anyway, if you have a view. Hi, Jerry. Instead of dictating to parents what school to send their kids to, couldn't the authorities preserve a balance between existing schools by setting quotas or maximum pupil numbers for each school? Good morning from the Zeltan. A brilliant show, says a listener. The council told us because our garage is not attached to our house, we cannot convert it to a one-bedroom apartment. We could move into this as we age and free up the house for one of our children to raise a family. Well, that is an example of some of the madness of our planning systems and applications, that couldn't be done in a particular area, particularly from the point of view of ageing, downsizing and living close to family relatives who can help care and vice versa with children. That's just madness. That shouldn't be in place. And, you know, there should be national guidelines set up to allow those things to happen, I would have thought, on a common sense level alone. Surely it's more environmental to convert an existing building rather than buying a modular home, which is allowed now. Hi, Jerry. Showing my age there, is 40 years ago today, Maradona got the hand of God goal versus England. No way it would have passed with VAR. He'd get away with it today, says Mike. My God, that's unbelievable. What a game that was. He showed his good and bad sides there with that level of cheating, but then he scored possibly the greatest World Cup goal ever scored against England on the same day. Thanks for reminding us about that. If you have a view, get in touch with us on the show on 0667123666. We're going to talk now on the politics of all this, I suppose, at one level with regards to the planning situation and keeping rural areas alive. Fine Gael Senator Mike Kennelly has texted the programme. Jerry, I've raised demographic issues with rural planning and government since my election to the Senate. I'm now delighted the new guidelines will ease the planning restrictions that families face in our area. Well, Malcolm Noonan is a senator with the Green Party and he's with us on the line, foreign minister himself, of course. Malcolm, good morning to you and thanks for joining me on the programme this morning. Look, what's your view, first of all, from your point of view on that balance, that need to preserve the environment, to preserve rural Ireland on one level, but to keep it vibrant and alive on another, in the context of what's to be announced in the coming days about changes to rural planning guidelines?
Yeah, I mean, good morning, Gerry, and to your listeners. Certainly, I mean, we would have concerns about what the minister is about to announce. It would seem to be a very liberal approach to rural planning. And from our perspective, it's contradictory to what that the previous government and even the current government had a policy around town centres first and trying to bring vibrancy back into our village town centres and keeping cluster development where there is access to services, where there are water and wastewater treatment facilities. Not in every case. I know there's challenges all over the country. But I do think that, you know, the expansion of continued rural one-off rural housing is not really going to solve the problem for many of the rural communities that we're talking about. And the focus of your attention today, which is on depopulation, the closure of rural schools, the inability of some of GAA clubs to field teams, etc. And I do think it requires government to look at it a much more broad approach around rural proofing all of their policies and looking at the services that are able to, that may not be there to service these houses, you know, in terms of rural infrastructure, roads, ambulance services, waste collection services, all of that. So I think it's a much, much bigger issue than just a planning issue. And it's about looking at land use. It's about looking at our farming systems and about putting money, a lot, disproportionate money coming to this part of the country where I live, versus farmers in the west of the country. So it's a much, much bigger issue than just a planning one, in my view.
So it's multifactorial. Are you afraid that the government will make this announcement and sit back and think, right, that's that problem solved?
Yeah, I think they will, and I think, you know, congratulations to the incoming Cathaoirleach and last Cathaoirleach in Kerry there and all over the country. But the local authority members know themselves that they're facing huge challenges in trying to find local roads budgets to service new roads, opening up new roads and maintaining the rural road infrastructure as well. So all of these things, if they're not going to put in that type of infrastructure, and at the same time, they're cutting back on the local link services. We've had a massive cut in the transportation budget. Green Party in government rolled out the local link services to see those expand all over rural parts of Ireland. And now they're being cut back on. And we're seeing that expressway routes being cut because they're not economically viable. All of that has to be in tandem with a coherent policy. And that's what we would be calling for, a rural proofing of all of these plans and policies.
So you're arguing that the viability shouldn't be a factor. It should be what it does for a local area to keep that area going and transport people to and from, that should be factored into economic considerations for bus services.
Yeah, absolutely. It's that. But also look at, Gerry, at the money that's been pulled out of rural Ireland in recent times. The Leader Rural Development Programme, which was hugely successful, 2014, it was a Fine Gael government that pulled the rug under that. And that now the CAP negotiations are ongoing, and it looks like that leader funding is going to be reduced even further. So we're going to look at a reduced CAP, disproportionate money coming to the wealthy farmers in this part of the country, and less so in farmers in the North West Kerry. And I think that's part of it, because that's money going into rural economies. That's about succession, about families and young people having the confidence to stay in farming. So it's a much, much bigger issue, and there's a lack of coherence about what government is doing here, and they're not certainly not thinking it through. I mean, we've had a significant, if you look at the stats between the last couple of years and into 2025, there has been an increase in one-off rural housing. So I don't know what problem they're trying to fix. What I do see, and I do see an absolute need, and one of your listeners put that point around the regeneration of our villages and towns and seeing the potential.
I was going to ask you about that, Malcolm. The problem that people see in rural Ireland is they see planning restrictions, like not enough, you know, building on your own land being allowed, but then they're not seeing that development in the local village that would give them somewhere to live,
exactly,
keep them local to the area because of water infrastructure, wastewater infrastructure, other issues like that. You can't have one without the other. If you're going to restrict things and keep it controlled for whatever reasons and for environmental reasons on the one-off housing, then surely you need to fast track your village development, to keep an area alive, to keep a school going or a sports club going?
You're absolutely right. And what I see is potential all over Ireland. I was up in North West Mayo last week, and you see a lot of above shop premises, 19th, early 20th century buildings that would be fantastic for families to live in. They have back plots on them more generally. They may have a lovely little garden space there. But also clustering development in around those towns and villages. And I know that Minister Brown had been mandating local authorities to rezone more land, but there's a lot of land already zoned. And it's around issues Cairn meeting their requirements in getting water and wastewater infrastructure fast-tracked to these small communities, and looking at innovation and ensuring that those systems, the wastewater treatment in particular, is future-proofed. If you look at an EPA report from a number of months ago, where they're saying, first of all, there's a very poor inspection regime, and the septic tanks that are inspected, almost half of them are failing. So it's much better, I think, from an environmental point of view, but also from a quality of life point of view, to be able to live in a development that's in and clustered in around a town, or better still, to repurpose an older house in a village. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, Malcolm, we're going to leave it there. Thanks for your views on that this morning. That's the Green Party Senator Malcolm Noonan, former minister himself, in relation to his thoughts on what needs to be done, planning and otherwise, for rural Ireland. If you have a view on that, get in touch with us on the programme this morning. We want to hear from you. I'm delighted now to say I have a number of people to talk to from either ages of the spectrum. We have a lot of people getting in touch with us on the programme. We'll get to those comments as well. We have Nolene Hagerty from Ballydunhill Community Alert. We also have Keane Houlihan, who's in fifth class here at Lazelton National School, Aveen Cassan from 6th class, and Emma May Broderick as well, who's in 6th class. Good morning to all of you, and thanks for joining us on the programme. Aveen Cassan, I'm going to start with you on the programme. Listen, good morning, and thanks for joining me this morning.
Good morning, thanks for having me.
Listen, you're in 6th class here, you're the class of 20, you're just about to leave primary school. Tell me about what it's like to go to school here in Lazelton.
It's very nice, it's very spacious, and the school brings us everywhere, and it's just very nice in general.
Okay, how have you enjoyed the last couple of years here?
They're very good. Everyone's just friendly to everyone, and we all know each other. It's a small school, but it has like big areas.
Yes, so you bring a lot of people in from all over the community.
Yes, but I think that we need a tiny bit more people, because, you know, it's a big school with, like, no one in it.
Okay, so there needs to be more people coming in, that's true. Okay, MMA Broderick, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Okay, what do you like about going to school here?
I like that we have lots of space, and we have a basketball court and a football field that we're turning into an all-weather pitch. And we have a biodiversity area and an outdoor classroom.
Okay, and that's all part of the development that's going on here, which makes it an exciting, interesting place to come to school.
Yeah.
And you like being in the countryside as well?
Yeah, I like being in the countryside because everyone's just friendly here.
Yeah, and you've really enjoyed your last 8 years now, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, what's your teacher like?
She's lovely.
Is she?
Yeah.
Right, very good. We had to ask that one specifically. Keane Houlihan's with me as well from fifth class. Keane, good morning to you.
Morning.
How are you this morning?
Good.
Did you enjoy Kerry at the weekend?
Yeah, I did.
Brilliant. What do you like about going to school here, Keane?
I like all the space that we have and the football pitch that we have, because there's a lot of room to like practice skills and that.
Yeah, and that's being developed. And how many are in your class now, say overall?
In like fifth and sixth.
Yeah, yeah.
There's 21.
About 21. Okay, all right, so that's it. But the numbers are falling the younger you go, and there's a need to hold on to teachers as well. But there's room to expand, so that's what you're talking about here. You're talking about the fun you're having, the space, the facilities here, all brilliant.
Yep.
Okay, brilliant. Okay, great stuff. Well, listen, Keane, that's brilliant. Thanks for talking to me this morning. Now, I also have with me here on our broadcast unit, Noel Hegarty, who's with Ballydunhill Community. Noel, good morning to you.
Morning,
Jerry. Thanks for joining me this morning. Tell me, first of all, I suppose, look, you've been listening to everyone. You see the kids here, how much they love the primary school, the facilities here. It's very important to all levels of the community here, both young and old, that this has kept going.
Oh, absolutely. If there isn't a good school here, you're not going to attract young families. But the infrastructure has to be there to allow families to build. Now, if there is an ageing couple, we'll say, and their family can build, there's huge benefits for both sides. Because with school, you know, if you're working, most parents have to work now.
Yes.
you know, and to survive, and also to educate their children and give them a good start. If the school can't open today because the heating is off or the road is bad or the bus is out, grandparents are there to look after them. You're no good to your place of work if you ring up and say, I can't go to school, I can't go to work today because the school is closed. Out the gap with you. You're no good to anybody.
And that's what you mean when it comes to community support.
Community support is so important. And in the country, you have it, you see, already. You don't need, you know, there's no great work needed to do that. But we have to, now we have to understand that the infrastructure has to be right for to allow families. But there seems to be minor issues stopping all this. In our eyes now, we're not experts.
Yeah.
But it seems to be minor things that are stopping them. Like you mentioned there now about somebody not being allowed to convert the garage into a one-room apartment. Like,
just because it wasn't connected to the house?
Yeah. Sure,
that doesn't make any sense.
No, it was ideal that it was away from the house because they have their own separate thing, you know. And grandparents are taking children to football matches. They're taking them, picking them up from school. They're huge benefit.
Yeah.
Like even if the school rings, the child is sick. You're at work. You can't leave work to pick them up. You have grandparents. So road safety, mental health, general well-being, all that comes into play.
On the security side of it, you're part of the community alert.
Yes.
Obviously, if there's more people living in a particular area, it makes it safer for older people.
Much safer for everybody, because everybody in the country, everybody looks out for one another. If I see a strange car pulling into my neighbours and they don't stay too long, I'm kind of saying, well, what are they about?
Yeah.
You know? And likewise, they do the same for me. If I'm away, they'll come in around the place, I'll go into their place. That happens all the time in the country. That will not happen in a town.
Yeah, yeah, it certainly won't. Okay, Nolly, listen, that's great. Well, thanks very much for talking to us in the programme.
Thank you for having me.
Giving us your review. We've more to come here from Zeltan. We'll be finishing with a bit of music and a bit of culture as well. That's Noel Hagerty, Ballydunhill Community Alert. My thanks to Aveen, Kassan, Keane Houlihan and MMA Broderick spoke very well from 5th and 6th class here at Zeltan National School. We'll have more on Kerry Today after we take these.
Kerry Today on Radio Kerry, broadcasting live from Zeltan National School, funded by the News Reporting Scheme.
Yeah, we did talk to Kerry County Council about this morning's programme, wanted a representative on to talk about the issues, but they said they released a statement to us in relation to the issues we're talking about, the developments of small village settlements such as Zeltan. And what they've said is North Kerry is predominantly rural in nature, with approximately 59% of residential properties classified as rural. Kerry County Council acknowledges the important role of rural areas within the county, and this is supported through the current planning policy. Approximately 80% of rural housing planning applications were granted between 2015 and 2023. Population of rural areas in the Stole MD increased by 1.5% in the last 6 years. Variation number 4 of the County Development Plan promotes the development of small village settlements such as Zeltan, and Kerry County Council promotes cluster development as a mechanism facilitating sustainable growth in rural settlements, and they recognise the significant role that rural villages, schools and sporting organisations that play in the sustaining the local social and economic fabric of rural Kerry, and they're aware of the significant challenges facing many rural settlements. And that close cluster idea is one that needs to be enforced for the future. That's just a little bit of what Kerry County Council have had to say. We'll have more on that throughout our series of going out and about talking about rural areas. But I'm delighted to say, to finish the programme, I've got Kate McNamara, who's music teacher of the Cultus branch, Ballydunhill Zeltan, and a former Zeltan National School pupil, Jack Purcell, who's age 17, is here on the button accordion, and MJ Collins is here on concertina. Katie, good morning to you. Listen, tell me about the cultural side of things and Cultus's development here.
So here in Zeltan School, it's the hub for Ballydunhill Cultus. Cultus in Kerry is in Ireland 75 years old this year, and Ballydunhill is here with the last over 50 years, and we have one of the largest branches in the county. We have 273 members in total, so that's a testament. But a lot of those members are not just from Ballydunhill area, they're coming in from Listowel and the urban areas because they can't find planning here, but they're still past pupils of the school and the Cultus branch down through the years, and they come back to do the dancing, the singing, the choral,
to
keep the culture alive. We have bands and groups going to the Flas. It's like going back, like Robert Bunnan said earlier on, Jason Foley came in here playing Tin Whistle won his under 12 banjo up in Tullamore Fla, went on and with collaboration with the GAA Score went on and won an All-Ireland there. So we're a massive cultural community, and with our GAA and Score and Score and Og, we've two All-Ireland titles, and we've over 100 titles in relation to Coltis. Yeah. And now it's starting to shrink because branches out along Ballylongford and Tarbert have come together and they're amalgamating for bands groups, because there's nobody able to put a band under 10 or a group of Kjol with 20 musicians into it. So that's going to happen with our branch if we don't. But it's a great place to rear children. They have everything with our GAA, and they have the soccer next door, and we have beautiful AstroTurf coming here now as well. And they have music, song, choral, Gaeilge, and step dancing here every Friday night. You can't get parking in that schoolyard Friday night with the last 40 years.
That's brilliant. Another example of why areas like this need to be kept alive. Okay, Katie and MJ and also Jack, you're going to play us out of the show. Is that right?
We are. We're going to play two reels. Again, learned inside in the school here. Fine, fabulous school we have here. Big classrooms. Teachers are fabulous here. Always have all the books put away in the evenings. Classrooms are ready to go every Friday evening for step dancing and singing and music. So we're going to play two reels, The Road to Ria and Larkin's Beehive Reel.
Brilliant.
Pindo.